Hi, and welcome again to Marketing Schmarketing, the official podcast of AMA Las Vegas, where we talk about current events in marketing and help you become a better marketer. Rock on, Vegas City, yeah. Rock on, Vegas City. Rock on, Vegas City.
Vegas strong to the bone. Boom. What up, America? This is Jeremy Katowich, current AMA president. I have Shahab Zaghari, as always.
Hello.
Immediate past president. How are you doing today, man?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Good.
I'm excited to do another podcast.
These I are know. Fun. You know, we're a lean cast today. We're missing Stormy. We're still actually sitting here, though, in the Powerhouse Experts podcast, I believe. Yeah. So one could say it is actually sponsored by Stormy, yes, and Yoko Local, as
Powerhouse
always.
Powerhouse Experts, yeah. Podcast.
Powerhouse. Thank you very much, Stormy, if you're out there, for letting us use your facilities, as always. Definitely appreciate the podcast here.
And we appreciate the listeners for tuning in, yeah, as always.
Absolutely, guys. We appreciate that. Well,
let's kick it off.
As we typically always start, we kind of have a personal or professional success story. Shahab, do you have anything to bring to the podcast, my friend?
Let's see. So, what I would like to talk about is the American Marketing Association magazine.
Okay.
If you are an AMA member, you get this magazine for free, and it comes all the time, and it's chock full of stuff. We frequently reach into it for some of our podcast topics, and I just want to say, it almost makes my annual dues worth it. And of course, there's all kinds of other things, yeah, that you know, go along with that, camaraderie and referrals and things of that nature. But the magazine is awesome.
Yeah.
We will talk a little bit about some of it, but it's called Marketing News, and it's absolutely free as long as you're a member. Yeah. So
thank you for joining, guys. I do look forward to thumbing through that each month. So
I think it's a success.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That's great. Success wise, I'm trying to think. We'll get into it, but I was able to launch something with Credit One Bank, which was super cool to announce a big partnership there. So that
which was just announced a few days ago, right?
Yeah, I think like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. But there's a lot of boots on the ground work to get everything done. So you probably saw their digital billboards around town. So that was, it was great though. Great partner. So very excited, nice, about that. So Shahab, the big question before I even actually ask you the question that we're starting off with is, did you actually try the Popeyes chicken sandwich?
No.
You didn't try it?
No.
Well, let me tell you.
Did you have?
I did not. You know, and we'll get into it in a second.
As soon as they were running out of them, I was like, nah, I'm not even going to try it.
It just sounded difficult. Well, you're by UNLV, so it wasn't terribly far. It's like Catty Corner almost, yeah, right? Like, yeah. Troppenpaird or Maryland Parkway.
Maryland.
Well, first topic of the night, as you can all probably imagine, coming out of Eater Las Vegas, a Dallas strip club gives away free Popeyes as chicken sandwich shortage looms. The Aces of Dallas, had at least 100 sandwiches delivered for patrons on Thursday night if they paid the entrance fee. Shahab, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. That is the most genius campaign I've ever heard in my entire life. Thoughts?
I think it's amazing. So, first of all, they were cashing in. Social media, print media, everyone was talking about Popeyes.
Yeah, like 10 days.
And I think it's brilliant. What I want to know is if no one else could get these sandwiches, how did they get 100?
It was early on. I really
okay.
I really think it was like, excuse me. I remember like seeing this article, like when everything kind of first started getting very hectic on social media and traditional and everything, everyone was talking about Popeyes and Chick-fil-A, and I believe there's a viral video. It was a rap song. It was terrific. I'm pretty sure I listened to it about 10
times.
Which
is crazy because I think these sandwiches came out right around the same time KFC launched like a little sandwich thing.
Oh, they had like a chickenless nugget, I think is what they launched. Chickenless nugget. It was a vegan nugget. But
who, KFC?
Yeah, dead serious. Because I remember because I saw there was a billboard and it was in front of a KFC and it was like an all green billboard. I don't know. I remember seeing
like everyone else is doing the Impossible Burger. What can we do?
A chickenless chicken nugget. I was impressed. But I thought But seriously, for the marketing purpose, though, of getting people to pay entrance fee of a strip club, which who knows how much it is in Dallas, but I mean, come on, man. That is absolutely
They're
amazing.
Like, listen, I can't get Popeyes. If they're all sold out, I'm going to Aces.
But like, let's say it was like $50, right? Like, would you pay, like, if someone was like, I don't know if I could pay $50, but it is kind of twofold.
And they were, yeah, and they were getting
and
the entertainment.
It's entrance, entertainment, but it's like, my God. So to follow up on that though, our second or 1A topic of the night, along the same lines of Popeyes, because I think it was honestly it was one of the most odd things I've ever seen in my life, social media wise or anything. I just could not believe. I mean, there was a couple that like pulled a gun on like the Popeyes girl so or one of the girls in like the drive through window because they didn't have any. And I was like, okay, we have reached our limit. Yeah. What have we become? I think I posted that on Facebook. I was like, what have we become? Well, there's no turning back, but kudos to Popeyes overall because the Popeyes chicken sandwich, now a sellout, was valued as a $65 million marketing win.
So for those of you that don't really know what that means the equivalent of spending $65 million in advertising is what they got out of this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's insane.
But think about it, though. Like, I really think it was like 10 days long. I really do. But so during that time, did you go to any other competitors for a chicken sandwich? Anything?
So I'm on a diet.
No, congrats,
right now,
man.
But,
good for you.
Yeah, no. Fried foods, I got to stay away from them. But no. But I mean, to that point, in this day and age, 2 days max. I mean, half an hour, people are already moving on to the next social media viral thing.
Yeah.
10 days.
It was crazy in the article, too. I was reading that things were, like, picking up, right, for Popeyes when they first launched this. But they really, really, really saw a huge intake in their social media interaction when local TV stations were doing test tastes on air between Chick-fil-A and Popeyes. And, like, and apparently in those regions when they were doing these, like, tests, I remember, like, the Coke Challenge, remember that
right,
back?
Yeah,
same concept. But these people were organically doing that on television. Right. So then apparently in those market areas when they were doing this, the social media started exploding. Their mentions started increasing their, you know, so it's so funny, like traditional media led to an explosion of social. And typically it's almost backwards. But then there was like such a big waterfall of info and content that it just kept flowing. Right.
Yeah. And usually when, you know, I'm at a seminar or giving a talk or, you know, sitting with a client, sometimes they say, well, you know, I'm not on social. I don't think. But even if you aren't on Twitter, even if you aren't on Instagram, your perfect target market probably is.
Yeah, at least one of them are.
You know, and so on the one hand, you could, you know, have a fluke like this and get $65 million worth of advertising. Or it's also a good way to kind of put your ear to the ground and see if your competitors are talking down, you know, about your
shout
brand.
Out to Wendy's though. If you anyone out there listening, if you do not have a Twitter, which I actually believe it or not, I actually don't have a Twitter, but I do follow and I do keep up to date via the AMA Twitter. I just don't ever post anything. So
yeah, but Wendy's kicks butt.
But Wendy's, yeah, they absolutely they as the kids say, they murder it and they are absolutely amazing on Twitter. And whoever runs that hopefully is a CEO somewhere now because they're geniuses.
Yeah, so actually that's another win. That's
another win. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the worst part too is Bethany made me go to Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, we've already had the sandwich because I remember when they first came to Vegas on the, I don't know if it was the first or third or second location they opened, but it was on Rancho and Sahara, not too far from where we live downtown, right? And we drove by just to, like, check it out, like
line
out the door, and these poor people taking orders are sitting out there writing down orders, and they're just sweating. And then they added like tarps or I don't even know what you call it a gazebo, I don't know, whatever. Because there was so much like influx of traffic over there, and it was a disaster. I tried to go to the freeway to get on the freeway, and I couldn't even on Rancho to I-15. I couldn't even do it. But it made me laugh though, because like, so because of Popeyes, I had to go to damn Chick-fil-A and eat a spicy chicken sandwich on the request of my girlfriend, who swears we didn't have it.
Because you normally go to Popeyes?
No, we don't normally go to either, except I do love Popeyes. But not, I mean, who would have thought a chicken sandwich? But because of this was all going on, we had to go. We weren't going to go to Popeyes because it was already sold out, right? So we had to go to freaking Chick-fil-A. And I was, all right.
And now, 2 weeks later, they're still on a podcast for the American Marketing Association. Yeah, that was a good call.
Unbelievable. On to our next one. Kind of, we have two topics here that are somewhat local or very local and I think unique, really, to this market now, right? The really big one I want to touch base on, I know you're going to expand on it, is Twitch partners with the NFL Raiders Allegiant Stadium. And I thought it was kind of a weird, I thought it was a reach at first. What did you think?
Well, so I think it's too early to tell, okay. But it's really interesting because for those of you out there that aren't familiar with Twitch, it's actually a streaming service that started for gamers. And so these people that are playing video games of all kinds, but mostly the
Fortnite.
The adventure. Yeah, well, I was like, Fortnite's
mostly
on
it's
there,
Fortnite, isn't it?
Yeah. But there's a lot of, you know, like Halo and, you know, that kind of Gears of War kind of stuff. And, you know, what it made me think of was this. Okay. So a few months ago, I remember seeing this newspaper comic and it was so funny. So you see this guy condescending someone sitting in front of their computer. You know, they have Twitch up, and they're literally going, you're sitting on your butt watching someone else play a game?
Crazy.
How pathetic. And then they walk into the next room, plop down on the couch, and sit and watch football.
Yeah, there
right?
you go, man.
And so it was kind of like, well, it's kind of the same thing. Neither one of you are actually doing anything, but you're watching the game, and you're enjoying it, right?
No, I get it.
And now Twitch, who was in the video game space, is the official partner of the Raiders Stadium, Allegiant Stadium. Like, that's crazy. And
no, it's mind-blowing, right?
What I'm hoping is this, right? So Instagram, Facebook, all of these platforms have live video. And a lot of brands, a lot of our AMA members are trying, they're playing with it and they're trying to do it. But the one thing that it really lacks is the crispness of a pre-recorded video.
Okay.
Right? There's buffering and it's pixelated.
Well, that's interesting. That's a good point. I've only played around on Twitch. I don't have a background on it. I mean, that's interesting. I didn't really know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, just think, you know, if one of your friends is doing a live video Instagram stories, you click into it, it's not as clear as the video they posted yesterday in their feed.
Interesting.
It's a little pixelated.
But you know what?
So I'm hoping that this leads the way to, you know, much more robust live video.
Okay. For that platform.
Just in general. Like, okay. Hopefully they, you know, it's almost like one of those things where no one can do it. And then once someone does it, then everyone kind of.
Absolutely. You know, it was interesting though, if you go on, and it was actually an ESPN article, believe it or not, which is, it's so funny because they're trying to tailor as well. They're trying to tailor their content now to a $4 billion industry that is esports, right? But if you take a look at the article, it says, at Twitch, we're constantly looking for new ways to engage with our community online and in real life. It's in parentheses. I thought it was kind of funny. but they're basically going to be they're a founding partner, but they're going to have like a Twitch themed lounge where these people can go engage with this platform, which is really kind of funny because it's a physical, it's almost like an activation, right? It's an activation.
Where you're interacting with the people watching on Twitch at home.
I mean, shit, sure. You know, who knows? Huh. But that's what's going to be kind of interesting is because what's that going to look like? You know, I mean, basically, it just sounds like a sponsored lounge, you know, when I first read it. Because, like, I remember I went to a conference in New Orleans, and I went to the Crown Royal Lounge, which was inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the Saints play. They're just a Monday Night Football there. And if you walk in, everything is Crown Royal, right? So, like, there's Crown Royal girls, there's Crown Royal guys, there's Crown Royal everywhere. Yeah. So that's what it kind of, like, sounded to me at first.
Right, so
it
was almost like a branded lounge.
It was just a branded lounge, right? But, I mean, the amount of stuff that's going to be happening at the Raiders Stadium, like, it's not going to be absurd to think 65,000 people are going to go show up to watch a Street Fighter II tournament. Because it's going to happen. Totally. It happened at Mandalay Bay, you know?
Mandalay Bay.
30,000 people showed up for that. So, who knows? Moving on here to, say, topic 2A. How about that? very excited about this. As I mentioned in the intro, it was a success. Credit One Bank becomes an official, becomes an official credit card for the Raiders and a founding partner. Huge. They were super intricate with the VGK when they first got here. And, of course, it only makes sense. It was a quick story, and then I just want to hear your feedback.
Yeah.
As I'm dying today. I was watching Hard Knocks week one, right? It was the Raiders. Yeah. And I saw a Credit One Bank logo on in the background of like their practice facility in Napa.
Yeah.
And I emailed, or I was thinking about emailing my client and being like, so is this what we're launching on, you know, a few weeks in? So it just made me laugh. It's like, I kind of figured it was coming, but it wasn't an official thing. But congrats to those guys. And, you know, I'm very excited.
So what does that mean? Like, they have a stake in the stadium?
No, basically are just like the official branded credit card, just like they are with the VGK, right? Gotcha, so it's the exact same concept. But, I mean, for someone that's been in the market, they're so young in the market.
And that's what I wanted to get at. So when did they officially put a foothold in Nevada?
I think it was like right after they built. I mean, so that's T-Mobile. The thing. No, I'm saying they built Credit One Bank. They finished it like right before the hockey season, I believe. Now, don't quote me on that. And if you guys.
But right around there.
Yeah. But if anyone out there who's listening, if you tune in or want to come check out our next luncheon, that Credit One will be presenting.
So excited.
October 2nd, and it is Growing a Challenger Brand. And the two ladies speaking, I work with them hand in hand for their billboard placement. And if you are a data-driven marketer, you need to be there. It's going to be a very, very good presentation. Yeah,
it's interesting what they've done to build their brand, right?
Yeah.
And Vegas Golden Knights, Raiders. I mean,
Aviators. They're a partner of Aviators out there as well. But it's so funny, you know, like, and not to,
because they're beating out the national banks.
Yeah, they really are. You know, it's crazy. I mean, overall, you know, it's like, hey, this is a PR thing. But like, what's really nice about them is they're really like, we are committed to this market, right? We are partnering with every single thing you try to do on Friday and Saturday night. You know, which is spectacular though, but. You know, they're basically just becoming, you know, an essential part of the Raiders. So that's great.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. Again, next month. Don't miss out. First Thursday. Second, I believe. One big thing I wanted to bring up, Shahab, and I know before we were on the podcast, you're like, I had no idea this was going on, which I'm super excited to hear. Now you've had some time to take a look at and stuff, but Amazon's getting into the advertising side.
Which is crazy. Yeah, I didn't know this until you sent that to me.
I know. And it's not just like advertising. It's Amazon advertising, right? So very interesting. The article that notes is essentially they're giving brands and consumers the power to boost ads, display ads, video ads, custom targeting via their platform. So you and I, let's say we open up a knitting shop and want to go on Amazon. Well, now we can custom. As I understand it, that we can come up with a custom marketing campaign literally on that platform to target people who like socks.
So I don't know. So yeah, so it's essentially, for those of you that are familiar with Facebook marketing, it's essentially the same thing, but on Facebook, people are scrolling, they're looking at events, they're, you know,
it's content,
connecting with friends.
It's content.
On Amazon, they're ready to shop.
I know. They're using
ready to shop. And if they type something in, that is exactly what they're looking for. Your ad pop. I mean, I think, you know, it's something that they've had internally for their own purposes. And the fact that they've opened, I mean, it's smart. The fact that they've opened it up, great. They're going to make a ton of money.
Well,
but
it's like
brands that have a store or something that you're selling, I mean, that's insane.
Well, I was thinking, like, it's almost like a fair, like fair playing field, kind of. Because Joe Schmo, if they have the best X, right, or widget, I believe all of my books when I was going to college, I said widgets.
Yeah.
If they have the best widget, then if they market it correctly, then they should, you know, the cream rises to the top. It's going to work, right? But can you imagine the massive brands that are just going to start dumping millions of dollars into Amazon?
It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be amazing. And someone out there needs to show us how to do it. Or come talk to AMA about it, because I think it is mind blowing to me. Basically, I mean, it's going to be amazing. I did want to bring up one quote though that was really cool, and I actually really never thought about this during the article. It said that Facebook hasn't showed us they can go lower in the funnel toward purchase, right? Like you said, it's all content. Yeah. We're scrolling, hey, shop now, right?
Right.
Google has been the one to play more of the full funnel story. So I Google cars. Buy a car, there's a Facebook for a car, there's a website for a car, right? And then Amazon is going after that. So now, physically, you just type in what you want. They're going to replace Google, essentially, for something that you're buying.
Yeah, right.
Via Amazon. Obviously, car is a way off. I guess you could buy a car on Amazon, can't you? But to that example. So, I mean, I thought it was kind of, I mean, I was amazing. So did you guys go check out their website as well? Because the website, just like on the product side, is so clean. And if you are a website designer, you need to go check that out.
Which is advertising.amazon.com. Yeah. And we did not get paid to plug that on here.
However, if Amazon would like to sponsor AMA podcast, please let us know. Thank you. I believe you had something.
So let's actually dip into this marketing news magazine. The newest issue is the September issue. And one of the things that jumped out at me, I mean, you know this, I love immersive advertising. Yeah. I love activations. And there's an article in here that says brands flock to music festivals as fans embrace activations. Now, I don't think that's a new thing. I mean, if you've been to a South by Southwest, if you've been to a Coachella, you've seen these, you know, it's like the Toyota lounge and you go in there and it's like a,
what's the Bacardi lounge for Life is Beautiful is coming up. I'll be there
the whole weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, the thing that, you have to remember is that, you know, it's almost like a pop-up. It's like a pop-up shop, but when you make it interactive, people will remember that. They will go home and talk about that. And that's what you want, almost like the Popeyes thing. But except in that version, they went home, talked about how they didn't have the chicken sandwich you wanted. I thought that was interesting. You know, not surprising, but I do like that everything is going that way. One of the other articles in here I thought was great, and it's something that I feel like we should, as marketers, think about and talk about a lot more, especially now that 2019 going to 2020, gender is a rainbow.
Yeah.
You know, whether you like it or not, there are people that identify in all kinds of ways. And so, you know, when you go into stores and you see advertising that's pushing for, you know, one gender or another, you know, are you, not as profitable as you could be because you are not marketing to the right people, right? So, for example, as opposed to getting Preparation H wipes, there are, that's embarrassing or it's whatever. It's for people. They have these things called dude wipes.
Dude wipes, okay.
You know, and in the article it says, 5 stars for a quality product.
Oh, spectacular.
-3 for fragile masculinity. You know, it's like, see, and like those kinds of things, you turn them off. You know, there's another brand who put pink grips on hammers. Like, do you really need to do that? Do you really need a pink hammer and a black hammer, one for males and one for females? I mean, these are things that I think we need to think about. You know, another example was a candle. A scented candle called His.
But it's just for him.
I mean, yeah, but
no, I get targeted all the time.
Candles are only for women? I mean, you know.
I think it's funny though. I mean, you're 100% right that the age-old stereotype marketing is, I think, drastically changing. But also that you're like, do we really need a pink hammer? It's just a hammer, right? I don't think like, I wouldn't even say like utilitarian, but like things that no one can associate with a brand perhaps does not need to be altered in any way to
because I feel like any demo, I feel like doing the dude wipes. I feel like doing the pink hammer. I think they're trying to increase profits, but I think they're alienating much more.
I like the dude candles. It's kind of funny.
His.
What would it be like? What are some of the flavors like? Chopped grass.
Budweiser.
Budweiser.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting though, man. I mean, because at the end of the day, like anyone can do anything.
If you're in it to make money from as many people as you can. That's kind of the point, you know. So if you start doing these gender only thing or continue doing for some, you know, like razors. Mm-hmm. There's the men's razors and there's the female razors, but really it's coming from the same factory.
Yeah. The Gillette.
So, but then there are people who are like, there's a, maybe it's Target where it's just like a no name brand and it's called the brand.
Brand or brandless. I know there's brandless. A website called brandless. Yeah. I don't know if it's a Target though.
Maybe it's not a Target, but
I think it's a website. It's like dish soap, brandless. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, so it's funny. Everyone can buy it, kind of thing. So, just things to think about going into 2020.
Oh, that's good. I'm still kind of blown away by the Popeye strip club, by the way. I mean, seriously, that's amazing. Really?
They rode that $65 million wave, you know?
Into the strip club. Wow. Unbelievable. Well, I think we are good.
We're pretty
on
much done. A quick reminder, October 3rd is the Growing a Challenger Brand luncheon at Fleming's, and that is Credit One, and they're going to be talking about all of their partnerships and what they did and what we can learn from that. October 22nd is Marketing Career Night at UNLV. We only have 6 spots left, I believe, so hurry up. It's $150. You get a booth, and you talk to all the marketing students.
Yeah.
If you need an intern now or later, just kind of get those resumes in. Great, great thing. October 27th is the Cancer Walk, but here's the thing. September 16th is the last day to sign up through our Eventbrite in order to get your pink shirt. And we will have those there on October 3rd
so
for
please,
you.
Please make sure to sign up before that if you would like to receive
the shirt.
And it
was funny. I initially thought that we were cutting it off September 16th so that we could have them for the luncheon, but it's really because it's Cancer Walk all over the country and pink shirts are in high demand. So let's get those orders in September 16th. And then, of course, we are very happy and proud to announce that we are hosting the Western Regional AMA Conference here in Las Vegas. I'm sorry, not conference, retreat.
Retreat.
So if you are on the board of anyone in the West Coast, we will see you on November 1st.
And it's open to some locals, the local Las Vegas chapter as well. So
I mean, if you want to come learn, essentially, Holly Parsons, who I met at Summit, she is amazing, super smart. She's been in business development and marketing and branding for 20 years, and she's been a part of the AMA since 99 and has been one of the top players since 2017. Wow. So she's going to be facilitating this retreat, kind of making and building, you know, and making your local chapter a well-oiled machine. So anybody who's a board member from San Diego to Colorado, we will see you.
I think Phoenix, too. Also, I do want to bring up, we have not announced this just yet, but very excited that we will be having on November 7th for our November luncheon, which is close to my birthday, by the way. We will have a marijuana marketing panel, very specific to this market. Worked with a few of the people who will be on this panel, and more details.
I'm very excited about that.
Guys,
it's really hard to get these guys to talk.
Yeah, you know, and that was like my big concern, right? Like, because everyone's kind of watching over their own shoulder, or looking over their own shoulder. I'm like, no, this is a safe space for marketing only. This is not operations. This is not who you know. This is how are you marketing, whether it's a dispensary or a product or whatever. How are you doing that? Is it to locals? Is it to tourists? How are you positioning yourself in the market? You know, so I think this is, I think some other groups may have done something similar, but the people that we're going to have on this panel, you definitely want to be there to hear what they're going to have to say. So I'm very excited for that one. So
cool. Well, thanks again, guys. All right. And we will talk to you later.
See you later.